Butterfly Kisses. It's entirely normal to be skeptical of the supernatural, and indeed, anyone that believes all supernatural events and entities to be real without a little questioning is likely going to have some issues. There are degrees of skepticism then, as some believe that ghosts are real, but not Bigfoot, or that vampires exist, but not aliens at Area 51. It's rational to question the authenticity of wild claims without sufficient evidence, but it becomes a lot trickier for a person if they themselves believe they have encountered something out of the norm. Butterfly Kisses is a found footage horror movie about found footage horror movies, and what might happen if someone actually stumbled across one. While the person who found it might wholly believe it to be real, outsiders are typically going to approach it with a very high degree of skepticism. Let's take a look. The film opens with a black and white, grainy shot of a room with ominous scribblings and drawings on the walls. A college-aged woman enters the shot and introduces herself as Sophia Crane, with the date being March 3rd, 2004. She's a film student. This is her senior thesis, and she doesn't know how much longer she's going to be alive. Whoever finds this should edit the first and second half of this final interview to the beginning and end of her film. This is the story of Peeping Tom and how she went to look for him, and she asks for this to be shown to her parents. She then states that she doesn't know how much longer she can go without blinking, at which point the film cuts to footage from the present day. We're then introduced to filmmaker Gavin York in May of 2015 at his in-laws' house. A cameraman follows him as he heads down into the basement, explaining that this is where they found it. He proceeds to pull out a box from underneath some ductwork, which has the words, "Don't watch," written on it. He notes that it's pretty eerie, but that's how all good horror movies start. Gavin's mother-in-law explains that her husband was down there poking around after they recently purchased the house, and he found the box initially. The box contains a number of mini DV tapes, and she figured that Gavin could use them for his job as a wedding videographer, although he doesn't use mini DV anymore. Gavin's wife, Amelia, figured that he should see what's on them as a little project to keep him interested in film. Gavin looked into the box, with the first tape being labeled as Final Solution. The tape contained the interview we saw at the start, and Gavin was immediately happy to see her as a fellow film major, although he states that things got a bit weird and a bit upsetting after that. He doesn't want to say more yet, but needless to say, he had to watch the next 40 tapes immediately after. His mother-in-law called the previous owners of the home and left a message about having something that belonged to them, but she never heard back, and the number eventually went unlisted. Despite none of the footage taking place at the home, the footage apparently upsets her enough to sell it. Gavin notes that the second tape he watched, titled Rough Edit, contained some good, edited footage of interviews on the street. But after that, it seems like they just kept filming stuff without editing anything, and didn't know when to stop. Being a good filmmaker, as he says, he took all the footage, edited it together, and finished Sophia's film. When asked what he thought about the film after it was finished, he states that he didn't really sleep for a couple of days afterwards. With that, we're given Sophia's film, Butterfly Kisses, put together by Gavin. It begins with Sophia on some train tracks near a tunnel, and she states that for the past 80 years, this tunnel has become something very sinister for local residents, the home of Peeping Tom, Mr. Blink, or the Blink Man. Apparently, anyone who sees him dies, and it's explained that he can be summoned by going to the tunnel at midnight and staring down it for a full hour. If you do so without blinking, Peeping Tom will materialize at the end of the tunnel. According to a folklore expert, Peeping Tom is known as a Flimmerngeist, or Flicker Ghost, an entity that lives on the periphery of vision. Once you see him, however, you can't unsee him, and every time you blink, he gets a little bit closer. He'll get closer and closer each time, until he's eventually so close to your face that his long eyelashes graze against your eyes, giving you a butterfly kiss and forcing you to blink one last time before he kills you. Obviously, a major hitch in the urban legend is the idea that you have to stare unblinking down a tunnel for an hour straight, a feat which seems physically impossible. One local counters that, of course, there's no record of anyone doing so, as they're all dead, which certainly is an impenetrable argument. The film shows interviews with various locals that have all heard stories about friends of friends of friends that saw Peeping Tom and died, but clearly there's nothing verifiable. Of course, the tunnel has been a popular place for years for teens doing dares, but it remains nothing more than an urban legend. In the present, Gavin explains that he went and looked into every local college of that area to find out more info on Sophia and her cameraman, Feldman. There's no information whatsoever on them, however, nor is there any info on their film professor, or the other couple of experts that they have on the film. As far as he can find out, none of these people seem to exist. A contact with the Baltimore City Police Department also looked into it, and couldn't find out any other info either, and he suggests that Gavin just found someone else's horror movie. Gavin notes that the footage contains no cuts, no retakes, and no evidence at all that someone else is directing this. As far as he's concerned, he's 100% convinced that this is genuine footage. The documentary crew that's recording his process notes that it looks like a found footage movie, and Gavin agrees that he did find the footage and is presenting it, but he's a real filmmaker, and he's just here to reveal the truth. Film critic David Starrett, however, notes that when you present a film as found footage, you are building in your excuse for anything wrong with it. It becomes clear that most of the people interviewed by the documentary crew agree that this is a fake found footage film, either made by Gavin directly or passed along to him. Gavin acknowledges this, agreeing that it's a pretty big coincidence that the person who finds the footage is also a filmmaker himself. But he just says that that's what naysayers will say. His own wife, however, also doesn't really believe the footage to be real, but it doesn't matter because Gavin is excited about it. Gavin says that he plans on taking the footage and showing it to everyone he can find, such as skeptics and various experts, to show that it is completely genuine. When asked why he's not just presenting the footage as is instead of cleaning it up and editing it, he merely states that he wants to present the best possible version of it that he can. Back in the film, Sophia gets a local staring contest champion to come to the tunnel at midnight to do the challenge. To the surprise of absolutely no one, he only makes it 14 minutes before giving up. Instead, Sophia and Feldman decide to set up a camera at the end of the bridge, pointed towards the tunnel. Their belief is that the camera lens will function like an eye, without blinking. They start recording at midnight, and shortly after 1 a.m., they give up, having seen nothing on the camera. Back in Sophia's dorm room, however, when looking at the footage, they see a black figure rising out of the ground. The two are obviously ecstatic, as their film is now salvaged. In the present, a film editor remarks that there's nothing in the footage that he can definitively point to say that it's faked, but it's also a pretty small and grainy video, so he can't say for sure. Gavin takes the footage to an assembled group of paranormal investigators, in the hopes that they will rally behind him and help spread the word of its authenticity. He decides to just show them the clip of Peeping Tom rising up out of the tunnel, with no other context. A decision which doesn't seem to win the crowd over. In a Talking Head interview, Gavin says that he hopes this will be his second chance to make it as a filmmaker, after going to school for it. His wife explains that he does a lot of weddings, but in the off-season it's a bit more spotty. He says that it originally was a way to pay the bills and convince himself that he's still a filmmaker, but now it just pays the bills. The documentary crew ask Amelia if this isn't wedding season now, and she sadly agrees that it is. She's had to borrow money from her mother, but says that it's not so much that it needs to be discussed with Gavin. The crew asks Gavin why he didn't just document this process himself, rather than hiring a separate crew, but he argues that no one would believe him at all if he just claimed that he found the footage himself. Unfortunately, it doesn't seem like anyone believes him anyways. The crew argues again that it hurts his case for authenticity when he's having the footage cleaned up and mixed for a theatrical release, as Gavin states that they're in this business because they like to entertain, but also because they want to make money. They note that he's treating it like he's making a movie, but he asks why you can't treat it both ways. Even the company that he hires to clean up the audio remarks that it kind of defeats the purpose to clean something up that you want to present as gritty found footage. They also mention the cost involved, and the crew asks Gavin how much he can realistically afford to put into this project. He replies that realistically, he can't afford anything. He instead tells the mixing company that this is a game changer and an opportunity for them to get in on the ground floor. In other words, he wants them to do it for free. Of course, that doesn't go over too well, and Gavin says to the crew that he could spend about $1,500, maybe $2,000, although it would be a lot of ramen noodles in the future. The company states that their usual rate for something like this is between $10,000 and $20,000. Back in the film, Sophia and Feldman meet with their film professor to show her the footage they took. Unsurprisingly, she compliments them on the nice effect for their horror movie, despite their protests. Feldman leaves briefly, and the professor asks Sophia if she had the tape in her possession the entire time, as Feldman is a slacker in his seventh year of college, despite being a genius with a camera. Sophia doesn't comment on this, and afterwards the two can't believe that anyone would look at that and think that it's fake, which seems a bit short-sighted. They travel to the home of the folklore expert, Mr. Folklore, although he's not there. In the present, Gavin travels to the same house and meets with Mr. Folklore, who vaguely remembers the interview he gave Sophia. He says his involvement was minimal, just the one interview, and then he never heard from them again. Gavin asks him about his opinion on the footage of the tunnel, which he calls striking. When asked about the following footage, he's a bit lost for words. In the film, Sophia meets with Feldman at his house, where he has the camera hooked up to a TV. He seems distressed and says that he just has to show her. He brings up the footage from when they met their professor and pauses on a certain frame. In the far background, extremely grainy, is a black silhouette on a rooftop. He then says that he changed the battery for a different shot, showing another black figure on a rooftop, a bit closer this time. He turned the camera off after that, and the next shot shows the same rooftop, with the black figure slightly closer. While looking through more of the footage afterwards, as they were driving, they see what is clearly a humanoid figure down the road. Lastly, when they arrived at Mr. Folklore's house, the figure is once again seen in the distance. Feldman says that it's the camera that's blinking every time he turns it off and on again, causing Peeping Tom to get closer. In the present, Mr. Folklore says that the film was scary and well constructed, but obviously fake, which Gavin doesn't accept. Gavin says that he's the only link to these two people even existing, and it seems that he's not taking this as seriously as he thought he would. Gavin becomes somewhat aggressive and accusatory, implying how convenient it is that he doesn't remember any of this, and how hard he's been to track down. He then asks if Mr. Folklore is involved in their disappearance at all, which causes him to laugh and say that that's ridiculous. It was just a documentary, leading Gavin to begin insulting some of his books, which causes Mr. Folklore to ask to end the interview. Gavin rants in his car afterwards about his inability to answer any questions about Sophia and Feldman and whether they were there to make a documentary or a horror movie. He heads back home, clearly in a foul mood, and his wife brings up their financial troubles. Gavin reassures her that this is his big chance for success, despite her objections. In the audio studio, where they're working on remixing the film, they notice that there's an odd audio glitch at the start of every clip after the tunnel footage. One of the audio engineers suggests that either Gavin put it in there for them to find, or Sophia and Feldman did, while another mentions that it sort of sounds like Morse code. After running it through a translator, they find that it says, blink. Gavin is ecstatic, but the audio engineers are all thoroughly convinced that it's fake, although one does state that it would have been quite a bit of work to shoot the footage, edit it, and then put it back on the DV tapes. In the film, Sophia and Feldman are discussing the situation, with Feldman quite excited about them having captured Peeping Tom in his camera, while Sophia is not so enthused. She tells him to turn off the camera until they know what to do with the film, but Feldman goes off on his own to do some tests. In a series of eerie clips, Feldman stands in front of the camera announcing the test before moving away, showing Peeping Tom getting closer and closer with each test. By test 40, he is only a few feet away and waves slightly at the camera. In the present, a video editor tells Gavin that all the footage of Peeping Tom appearing seems pretty suspicious, as he's always appearing and disappearing quickly, which can easily be faked. In the blink tests, Feldman always starts the shot in front of the camera, a convenient way to reveal the figure when he moves. Additionally, making the film black and white also makes it easier to manipulate and fake. Gavin brings up the metadata of the footage that shows the timeline of events, but the editor counters that you can also fake that. Gavin lashes out again at the guy for taking his money just to say that he's faking all of this. Gavin goes back to the paranormal investigator group as his last resort, to show them the rest of the footage. The group is less than convinced, bringing up that Gavin has no idea himself if any of this is real, and arguing several other points. Gavin goes on the defensive, finding it hard to believe that people that come up here get grilled like this, although it seems like that's exactly what would happen. One individual says that it's enough to warrant an investigation and a recreation of the experiment, but they need more than just a piece of visual evidence. Another just asks him what kind of medication he takes, leading the group to laugh and applaud as he angrily storms out. In the film, Feldman excitedly shows off the testing footage to Sophia, who is filming him with a different camera. He says that all they need to figure out now is the ending, the grand close-up, and he laughs at Sophia's fear of the situation. He leaves to handle something else, leaving Sophia to look into his notebooks, where she finds a number of drawings of Peeping Tom. Later, in her room, she says that she doesn't want to accuse him of faking it, but she wants it out there that she has her doubts about the project. She's really starting to believe that he's messing with her, and doesn't want to look like an ass if he shows this off at film festivals. Footage shows Feldman sleeping on a couch while his camera records him, with Peeping Tom appearing in a mirror. The documentary crew asks Gavin about Portraits of Dead Friends, a previous movie made by Sophia and Feldman that Gavin had cut any mention out of Butterfly Kisses. The film was another documentary, in which Sophia decided to put an actor in to portray a real person without disclosing it, a pretty big no-no in the documentary world. They ended up winning an award for it from their student film festival, and while Sophia has no qualms about what they did, Feldman still has reservations. Despite this, he suggests earlier in their process for Butterfly Kisses that there are things that they could do if they don't get the footage they need. What this all means is that either the whole thing is real, both of them faked it together, or one of them faked it without the other knowing. Gavin, however, dismisses all this by saying it's not relevant to the story, despite the crew's and various experts' objections. The fact that he removed all of that footage from the movie suggests that he's trying to manipulate the story and perceptions of it. The crew also asks why he owns a Panasonic DVX-100, the same camera that Feldman shot the film on, and asks his wife if all the money from the trips he takes to shoot weddings lines up, which she worryingly answers, usually. In the film, Sophia confronts Feldman in his house, as he is sitting on the floor, quite withdrawn. She says that she wants the tapes, and he just gestures at the box. She asks what happened to his face, to which he just says that it itched. He says that he locked his camera in the basement and threw away the battery, but when he woke up, it was back, turned on. He tells her that he's going to get the footage they need, but she'll have to finish the movie, like she said she would, before Peeping Tom comes for her. Sophia runs out with the tapes, as the camera quickly shifts to reveal Peeping Tom standing a foot away. In the present, Gavin has set up a website for the film with a timer, at which point he will release some of the footage for people to view for 24 hours. After that, the site will shut down, and he hopes that the phone will never stop ringing as he sells the rights to the movie. He's also contacted every newspaper in his area to get the word out, but all of them have rejected him, and he even berates the documentary crew for just filming him instead of wanting to help him out. He manages to convince them to help him get onto a radio show to discuss Butterfly Kisses during the time when the footage is available online. The host talks with the crew and says that everyone obviously knows that this is just a scam done 1,000 times before, and the crew agrees, but they need some sort of ending to this documentary. The host agrees to not push Gavin about it on the show, but callers begin to call in and tell him how fake and obvious it all is, as well as personally attacking Gavin himself. The calls go on and on as Gavin sits there without much of a response, until the show manages to get a special guest to call in, Eduardo Sanchez, co-director and writer of The Blair Witch Project. The Blair Witch Project is a film that was marketed to make people believe it was real footage, but obviously the creators never professed it to be so. And in an interview, Sanchez says that Gavin's way of promoting the film is a bit disturbing. He says that the film is obviously manipulated and doesn't tread any new ground in the found footage genre. He also points out how convenient it is for the camera to be on to catch certain moments, including showing the box of tapes that Gavin would later claim to find. He even tells Gavin on the show that it's a problem for him to still be professing that this is real footage, and if it comes out afterwards that he made this up, it'll destroy any reputation he has. Gavin was initially excited about talking to Sanchez, but by the end is devastated and has little to say in defense. Afterwards, he returns home and discovers that his wife took their kids and left him, causing him to break down in tears. She had found out that Gavin had taken out all of the money for his film that her mother put into an account for their kids. Back in the film, we see a live news report that Sophia recorded, although none of the Maryland news agencies would comment on it. The report is on the death of Feldman, whose body was found smashed to pieces in the cabinet under his kitchen sink. In the present, Gavin stops communicating with the documentary crew for a week, until he sends a text telling them to meet him at the tunnel at 11 p.m. The crew finds him at the tunnel, with a camera pointing towards it. He seems out of it, and the crew discusses amongst themselves who they can call to get him help. The documentary director says that he isn't really their responsibility anymore, while another member of the crew remarks that they have brought him this far and screwed him over a couple of times, like having Eduardo Sanchez call in the radio show. The director denies culpability, however, and notes that the others keep coming along and filming regardless. They then hear some rapid footsteps near the tunnel and rush to find that Gavin took his camera and seemingly ran towards the tunnel. They follow, but the cameraman remarks on how his battery is about to die. Just as it does so, they remark on seeing something unusual in the darkness towards the end of the tunnel. Back in the film, Sophia goes over Feldman's notebook, which outlines his final plan. He set up multiple mirrors and a separate camera in his room so that he could see all around himself when he had his main camera blink the final time. Footage shows him with a hammer in hand, ready to strike Peeping Tom when he appears, but when Feldman turns his camera on for what would be the final time based on Peeping Tom's proximity, nothing happens. He gasps in relief for a few moments, until suddenly Peeping Tom appears in front of the camera and it cuts. In the present, the documentary crew gets a call from a video editor that was previously interviewed, stating that while he was watching that final footage of Feldman, he noticed something unusual about Peeping Tom. Specifically, in his eye, there appeared to be an image. At first, he thought it was the image that they shot of the tunnel when Peeping Tom first appeared, but upon closer inspection, he believes it to be the reverse shot of the tunnel, or what Peeping Tom would have seen down the tunnel when he appeared. Additionally, the audio mixing company looked into that strange audio glitch some more that turned out to be Morse code, discovering that when run through a synthesizer sampler, it produces an image of a humanoid figure. The documentary crew also receives a package from Gavin containing a DV tape, his journal, and Feldman's notebook. Most of the crew expresses extreme skepticism, especially since the package containing Feldman's notebook has an address for Sophia that doesn't seem to exist. In the journal is a motel key card, which they track to a specific room. After knocking a number of times, they use the key card to enter, finding the room in disarray with cameras set up and sketches of Peeping Tom on the walls. They find the box of tapes and take them with, before finding Gavin's corpse in the bathroom. The coroner's report indicates that he died of heart failure, and the crew discusses whether or not they should hand the tapes over to the police. The director is vehemently against this, stating that what's on those tapes has nothing to do with what happened here, which seems pretty false. Back in the film, Sophia stares unblinking into the camera, and says that she had a dream last night in which she went down to the tunnel and stared down it at midnight. She says that she found it surprisingly easy to do so for a whole hour, at which point Peeping Tom appeared. She then woke up and realized that it wasn't a dream, as she was at the tunnel, 10 miles from her house. In the present, the crew confronts the director about how they don't have any ending to this movie, and that not all projects pan out. But he's not convinced. He says that they're going to put all of this into the movie and put it out there for someone else to pick up and continue looking into to figure out what happened to Gavin. One of them asks him if he believes that Peeping Tom is real, and he doesn't have an answer. That brings us back to the segment that started the film, of Sophia talking unblinking into the camera. She says that she thinks she figured out a way to beat him. One girl stared into the sun, but although she lost her sight, she still had to blink. She proceeds to take a shard of glass and cuts off her own eyelids, and the film ends. Footage after the credits shows the documentary crew checking out the footage from the tape Gavin sent them, which appears to show Sophia in an asylum, caressing something in front of her face. I think if we had just been shown the movie Butterfly Kisses by itself, as shot by Sophia and Feldman, it would have been a somewhat creepy but largely trope-filled movie about an urban legend becoming real. What the movie we watch actually does, however, by weaving in Gavin's story, is takes a look at the found footage genre itself. Outside of certain exceptions, less and less so since the release of Blair Witch Project, people watching a found footage movie know that it's all fake. This is true for all movies outside of documentaries, of course, but found footage movies beg you to buy into the premise far more. The effect of such a film is greatly diminished if the viewer is constantly reminded of how manipulated and set up it all is, and a viewer actually believing the footage to be real is by far the greatest compliment a creator could ever hope for. In modern times, however, skepticism about a setup like Butterfly Kisses, where a failed filmmaker finds a box of mysterious tapes in a basement, is fully warranted and expected. Gavin wanted it all to be real, of course, as it could have been his big break, and whether or not it's actually real or not, as far as the universe this movie takes place in, is largely irrelevant. Gavin ultimately failed to realize how difficult the uphill road it was going to be to pass this whole thing off as real, and had he just acknowledged that it was fake, but could be an interesting story, he could have had a success. Of course, that wouldn't have been nearly as entertaining for us to watch. It's amusing then to have a large chunk of a found footage movie be about experts weighing in on whether or not a found footage movie is real, considering that we as the audience know that it's all fake anyways, as far as we're concerned. We know that the shot of Peeping Tom rising out of the tunnel is manipulated because we're watching a movie, which is the same opinion as everyone in the film except Gavin, but that's sort of the crux of it. If it were real and someone captured it, how could they ever convince anyone it was real? Butterfly Kisses isn't an especially scary movie, although it does have its moments, but as a fan of horror movies and found footage in general, it's a great deconstruction that makes you think about the verisimilitude of the genre. The only real question then is, who the hell was the first person to stare down that tunnel for an hour to discover Peeping Tom?